This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Explosions last week in Iraq and Indonesia struck the Jordanian embassy in Baghdad and the Marriott Hotel in Jakarta. Officials say they cannot be sure yet, but fear that they're the work of Al-Qaeda or its associates. We'll focus on terrorism this hour. In a few moments, Paul Wilkinson joins us to discuss Al-Qaeda and its mutations. Later in the program, journalist William Longavisha joins us to talk about his new article on the anarchy that allows secrecy, greed, piracy, and terrorism to flourish on the vast and wild oceans. But first, moments ago, Liberian President Charles Taylor boarded a plane and left his country just hours after he resigned his post. The former president is believed to be on his way to Nigeria, where he was offered immunity. For weeks now, the African leaders and the United States have been pressuring him to step down and hope that his departure will put an end to the violence that has torn the country apart for over 14 years now. Former President Taylor was accused of war crimes in neighboring countries as well as his own. The U.S. has an historic interest in Liberia. The country was founded by freed American slaves in the 19th century. News reports estimate that 2,000 people have been killed in the most recent fighting with rebel groups for the capital city, Monrovia. Joining us now from Monrovia is Samson Mulugeta, the African correspondent for Newsday. I warn you, the connection is dodgy, but welcome.
Thank you.
Can you tell us what has happened today, not just the departure of President Taylor, but an arrival as well?
Absolutely. Three American ships were spotted on the horizon from the beach, and people started pointing, clapping, shouting, the Marines are here, and running to the beach excitedly. This has been a very long-awaited arrival of the Americans, but I don't think people actually expect them to land today or anytime soon, but their mere arrival, helicopters flying about, was very exciting for people, especially since it was combined with the departure of Charles Taylor.
And what happened there? Eventually, earlier today, dignitaries from all over Africa arrived to usher him out of his presidential palace and out of the country.
Absolutely. I guess it's a price Charles Taylor exacted from his fellow African leaders to treat him like a president instead of an indicted war criminal that he is. A UN tribunal in Sierra Leone has accused him of war crimes committed in Sierra Leone, and of course 250,000 people have died in Liberia in the past 14 years of civil war. So it was grand drama. We're all packed in this reception room at the executive mansion of the Liberian government. The presidents of South Africa, Ghana, and other dignitaries were there. And Charles Taylor made a speech, a very defiant speech, in which he blamed the United States for his departure. He said he told a parable of a cow, and it is sort of he's a very dramatic speaker, like a Baptist preacher. And he held a stage. He told that the U.S. has come for him now, but that it's going to go after other African countries. Then he took off this green sash and presented it to his vice president, a man by the name of Moses Blah.
And Moses Blah, as I understand, will be installed in power, but not for very long.
That's right. The president of Ghana, President Kufuor, said that he'll be in power until October, when a transitional government will composed of all the factions in Liberia. They've been fighting for 14 years to a bloody standstill. And they are now all in Accra, Ghana, neighboring country, where they're hashing out a transitional government. So Blah is basically a Taylor yes man. He's really not liked and wanted by the rebels. They have expressed their dislike of him, that they do not want him. But the rebels are under tremendous pressure from the American embassy to at least allow him to be there as a transitional figure. He was a very unimpressive presence today. His voice couldn't be heard. He was just basically not ready for his prime time, but that's what Liberians Anybody but Taylor right now is welcome to most Liberians.
And how are they reacting to the news that former President Taylor has actually departed?
The rebels responded by firing a burst of machine gun fire into the air, scaring people half to death. They were celebrating. And you cannot pretty much find anybody in Liberia who is not happy that Taylor is gone. Even the soldiers, his own soldiers, manning the checkpoints, these very threatening-looking young men who've been fighting with him since he began his insurrection in 1989, they're saying, okay, maybe...
And we warned you that the telephone communications are... Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, you were telling us about the reaction of the Taylor forces.
Yes, they are absolutely... I mean, this has been building up, mind you. The Taylor has been saying he's going to leave. He basically was controlling a very small portion of Monrovia, and the rebels had overrun the whole country. So it's not like he had much of a choice. And he's been talking about leaving, and everybody's at this point... So, okay, already leave. But he's such a wily character that people didn't really believe that he was going to leave. They felt that he's going to spring some last-minute surprise that just going to really devastate them. But this afternoon he got onto a Nigerian plane with a white handkerchief and flew away. And people are breathing a big sigh of relief. They're talking. They're happy. Right now, actually, it's very tense because the soldiers on the ground, his soldiers, are here. So in the next few days, we're going to see what's going to happen, whether the port that's in rebel hands is going to be open. That's where all the food is. People are extremely hungry here. They're foraging, waiting for this moment to find enough to feed enough food to feed themselves.
The men and boys who fought with President Taylor must be extremely anxious about what's going to happen to them.
Absolutely, and that's been the cycle in this country. They have committed so many atrocities that they are very afraid that people are going to come after them. It's a terrible thing on both sides. I think that's the that's the trouble that this country faces. I wrote a piece for Newsday that ran today, which it talks about the physical wounds being healed, but the mental scars of this nation will take a long, long time to heal, because there have been so much blood and so much pain that has happened to this country in the last 14 years.
You mentioned that the port is the focus of much attention now, because that is where what food there is in the capital city, Monrovia, that's where it is, and it's where more food and other supplies can be delivered. Is there any movement toward the port? Is the situation there changing at all?
Just about 30 minutes ago, I was there at they call it the old bridge and the new bridge, and from atop a hill we saw that the people were streaming across the bridge. So we went to check it out, and mostly it was soldiers, but there were some civilians, and there's some people were separated when the war broke out. So they are very, very anxious to go to the other side and find out if their loved ones are okay. And the humanitarian organizations have been trying to press the rebels to open up. But right now there are dozens of people who need immediate medical attention. The food storage area and the port area is full, but it's not safe for people to transport it to the other side of the bridge, the government held side, where people are literally starving and eating snails or anything they could find. So we're all waiting anxiously to see what's going to happen, whether ECOMIL, this is the name of the West African Peacekeeping Force, is going to go across the bridges, put checkpoints, and allow a free passage, because that's one of the strangest things that you miss in Liberia. You cannot get from point A to point B without passing a gauntlet of checkpoints with, you know, young men holding AK-47 assault rifles. So everybody's waiting for the West Africans to take over.
As you mentioned, there are several hundred West African peacekeeping troops who were already in, I guess, around the airport in Monrovia. Did more of them arrive today when all of these presidents and foreign ministers flew in to escort President Taylor out?
Their number is going to, they're several hundred right now, maybe 500 of them. It's supposed to build up to 3,200 as the weeks go on. Right now, they are not fully deployed. They have a base in Monrovia, government-controlled Monrovia, and they're manning some checkpoints. But not a lot of soldiers arrived today, although the South African president, the Ghanaian president, they brought their own commando-style special forces people to guard them. And you have to commend these presidents of these countries. They actually dared come to Monrovia, which is by far one of the most unsafe cities in the world. Mm.
I understand you're speaking with us from one of the hotels in Monrovia. From where you are, can you see the three American ships carrying the Marines?
Yes, absolutely. They are far away in the mist. It's the beach, and there are young boys pointing to the ships, old women, all types of people just, grinning with glee and joy jumping around. There are helicopters flying above. It's just a show of force. President Bush said that President Taylor had to leave before American forces will go in. And on cue, right, a couple of hours after he left, the ships arrived. And they're supposed to be there about 3 nautical miles from the shore. But people can see them, and they're very excited. This is a country where people have an incredibly almost naive adoration of America. Everywhere you turn, there's a reference, like Reagan Barbershop or Richard M. Nixon Institute, and including the Monrovia, which is named for President James Monroe, who helped found this country founded by freed American slaves.
Of all of the things in short supply, and certainly food and medicine, running water, electricity, all of that, perhaps hope is the one that is available today.
Absolutely. This country, which has been through the wringer of so much pain, I mean, when you talk to ordinary people, they have this, just a simple thing. It's practically known. You can never see a fat person in this country. Everybody's emaciated. I mean, not starving emaciated, but everybody's, you see a lot of handicapped people. You see people with missing limbs, with one eye damaged, and they've just been through hell. And this is the last glimmer of hope that they have found, and they have been disappointed many, many times. The only thing that gives them hope is that the United States is involved, and it will use its clout. The last time the West African peacekeepers were here, it was a very sad affair. They were involved taking sides, selling weapons to other side. So they want a real peace this time. They're looking to the world to help them set their country free.
Samson Mulugeta, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Samson Mulugeta is the Africa correspondent for Newsday. He was speaking with us live from the Liberian capital, Monrovia. And again, if you joined us just a moment ago, President Charles Taylor boarded a Liberian plane and left the country within the past hour. When we come back on Talk of the Nation, our subject will switch to terrorism and the anarchy on the high seas that allows greed and piracy and terrorism to flourish. William Longavisha will join us to discuss his new article in the Atlantic Monthly. If you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or send email TOTN at npr.org. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.